This is Dr. Holly Lucille's Mindful Medicine. Here's Dr. Holly Lucille.
Hi, folks. Thank you so much for joining me today on Mindful Medicine. You know, if there's a group of folks, I think, in the entire world that we should be extremely mindful about, in my opinion, it is our elders, our seniors. As a 51-year-old, I lost my mom a couple years ago, and this subject for me today is extremely important. It's all about caring for our seniors, or what I like to call our elders. I have an elder discount in my practice when folks come in. And because I think that as people grow old, I mean, shoot, I think at least for me, we get wiser and we've got so much experience and there's so much respect that should be had for those folks that have walked this earth and gone through so much because we could learn so much. I have a lovely lady that's going to join me today and we're going to talk all about it. She is known as the senior expert. So I'm so happy she's with me today on this show. Her name is Karen Owen Lee and is the best-selling author of the book, The Caring Code, What Boomers Need to Know About Seniors. Lots of great information. She's a keynote speaker, a corporate presenter for employees, individuals, and family coach and media personality. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is a delight.
Well, so you have over 30 years experience, and so I'm so happy to talk to you because we're going to get into it here. I think that going through the demise of my mom's life and her eventual death, there are so many things along the way that I felt it just didn't have to be that way. And I felt that if my dad, if my family, if my sisters that were closer to her had more insight into how to care for her as she was getting older, her quality of life, at least at the end, could have been so much better.
Mm-hmm. And it is the... You know, it is scary because it's the first time that most adult children ever have to deal with their parents in this situation. Their parents took care of them.
Right.
And now that the senior is aging, it's a switch. It's a role.
Yeah, it's a change in roles.
They have to become the parent to the senior.
The parents, yeah. So what are some of the warning signs that your loved one's health, the seniors in the family, the elders, I say, might be declining?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked because that's the first thing I always tell people. And one is nutrition. You would recognize it by the burnt pans, loss of weight. Some seniors only eat one thing. I met a gentleman who only ate Twinkies.
Oops. Oh no. Oh my gosh. And so this is a gentleman that was living on his own and just kind of been habituated into just Twinkies was the diet staple.
Well, and he couldn't get to the grocery store because of his ambulation. So he was in a wheelchair and his, pardon me, his family wasn't very involved. So that's what he ate, but, you know, he had the option of Meals on Wheels and other community services that would deliver good, wholesome food to him, but he just wasn't aware of the program. The next one is hygiene, shaving, bathing twice a week, brushing their teeth daily and brushing hair. The interesting thing about a bath is that when you become older, especially for the Alzheimer's patients, they have a fear of water. And for those individuals without the disease, they might have been very private and for women, very modest. And what I have found in my practice is to have them get a bathing suit cover-up, if you know what I mean. It's kind of a lacy, see-through garment that they can put on, well, maybe with assistance. But if they're in an assisted living and need help with bathing, they're not so exposed and they're not so fearful. Next one is toileting. That could be bowel or bladder. and they're going to need, you know, the pull-ups and the wipes. And the one thing I tell everybody to do is smell their chair or smell their bed. If you're not living with them, they may be covering that up because it is degrading for them as a senior or an individual.
Yeah.
So that's one idea.
There's interesting that you say that because I had a woman in my practice bring in her elderly mother, and her mother lived with a partner, but on her own. And I was really concerned about her. Her daughter did live further away, and so only saw her probably every other week. But there were things that caught my attention that I was extremely concerned about, and that was certainly one of them. That she smelled actually, you know, a little bit like urine, and it was one of those things that it's a difficult situation to bring up because there's pride. I mean, I think that the Ericksonian stage during this time is integrity versus despair, right? So we're trying to preserve these lovely people's integrity and decrease the amount of despair as they age into, you know, the life cycle and to eventual death. And I think some of those things are embarrassing, but they're good for people to know, younger folks, the boomers, as you say, to know, so we can understand if there's issues that are going on that need attention.
Well, congratulations to you for noticing the odor. It's when you walk into the house, it could be quite apparent when you walk into the house or into a room in an assisted living. As I say to my clients, if you're, pardon me, touring assisted living, if you smell, or any senior housing, if you smell odors, turn around and run. You don't want to even look at that place because you know that the...
as an option.
That
makes a lot of sense. And or if they already are in a facility, perhaps because you weren't on site to facilitate getting into the facility, and you smell that, then make a change, you know. Or but I think that's a great point because I went through that with my grandmother as well. You go ahead. So there's definitely, you know, dietary habits, cleanliness, you said, toileting. What else can we look for when we think our loved one's health is declining?
If I can interrupt my list, the other thing is to take into account long-distance caregivers. My father passed away last Labor Day, and I live 1,500 miles away from him. I'm the gerontologist, and my brother and sister were taking care of him, and it wasn't a pretty sight when I got back there. So the long-distance caregivers really need to stay on top of these things. I called my father every morning at 7 a.m., and he had a terrible fear of being constipated. And so he thought he was in assisted living. He thought he had to go to the nursing home because he couldn't control it. So, but staying in touch with the seniors is very important. The next one is dressing. And can they put their clothes on? Can they pick their clothes out? Those are the types of things. If their clothes don't match, then you know we've got problems. Dribbles down the front from food that they ate three days ago, you've got a problem. The next one is ambulation, and you're going to know more about that. It's falling, holding on to the walls or furniture because they're unsteady, not using their cane. It's kind of just a status symbol to some of them, and running the wheelchair into the walls or using an electric scooter. It was so cute in my neighborhood. There's a gentleman who tries to walk his dog, and he's a senior. Well, he bought one of those miniature motorcycles or whatever they call them. But it couldn't have been more than 2 feet high. And it was a wonderful thing. He was on oxygen. He couldn't walk around the complex. So that was his different way of doing it.
Sure.
and if a family is looking for senior living, I say if the person is wobbly, bad balance, get the smallest room available. Then the furniture is closer together and you can grab on, they can grab on to it and just give them a little bit more reassurance.
And yeah, those are great tips. Those are great tips. You know, and one of the things that I think is important, you know, and you mentioned staying in contact if they're long distance, those telephone calls. I know my mother-in-law, we just lost my grandmother-in-law. She was 104 years old, but she would call at the same time, twice a day, you know, and I think it was also good for her mom because she knew it, you know, to expect it. And that was sort of this consistency that was there. But I think also, even if you are, close by, staying in contact,
right,
because if it's almost like at the airport, they say, if you see something, say something, you know, when we start to get that sixth sense, like, I wonder if mom's slipping or, you know, she didn't seem so steady. Those are really important things. Cause in my experience, it does mean that even that integrity versus despair, I think seniors try to hold on so hard to not declining in their health or their wellness or their vitality. And that sometimes it's hard, but these are such great things to look for. I want to get to another question because this is going to be really important for my listeners because I feel like I talk to friends. I'm 51, so I talk to friends, and we're in this situation with our older parents. I'm going through this with my dad right now because he's kind of tight-lipped about finances and stuff. I don't know anything about like sort of his current financial situation or, you know, the legal documents or if he has to go into assisted living, like where can people start when they have those types of questions, when it's apparent that we need to intervene and really get our senior loved ones some help.
Pardon me. Great question. I recommend going to an elder law attorney. And let me make the differentiation here. An attorney is not trained in elder care problems or concerns or the future. And elder law attorneys do. So they would be handling all the legal papers. As far as finding out, it's a great question you asked, how much your parents are worth. You were dealing with what's called the silent generation. And they were, for my father, he went through the Depression, and he was just not willing to talk about his money, his assets. And that's extremely important for the financial power of attorney to have and control when the capabilities of the senior go downhill. They'll have to pay bills and they'll have to be able to get in the safety deposit box. It goes on and on and on. Where do you start with the rest of that? You call a professional like myself, and you do counseling or coaching to go through the whole roadmap because it is such an overwhelming thing. And again, I hate to be egotistical, but again, I would recommend a copy of my book. It's only 96 pages, but it answers quite the questions you're asking.
Great. And so, but listeners out there, once again, this is the senior expert, and the book is called The Karen Code, What Boomers Need to Know About Seniors, chock full of information, all those little things about what we, you know, sort of need to know about finances, all the things. And you can also get a hold of Karen at KarenOwenLee.com. That's KarenOwenLee.com. All right. So I want to ask you this last question here. What happens when, what in your experience, when it's sort of decided by whether it's the senior's doctor or the family that they really need to go from independent living into assisted living? How can we help the patient, I guess, themselves? You know, where do you start with that? Can you give us some advice of having that conversation or actually starting that process?
It's called Having the Difficult Conversations. It's in the book, and I always say, if you can't think of anything else, words to start the question or start the conversation, use what if. Mom, what if you needed to go to assisted living? Or, you know, what if your health declines? And you start the conversation there. And really, you can't do anything without the physician. If you're going into assisted living, you have to have a form filled out called physician's orders. And legally in the state of Colorado, you cannot be admitted without that. So you need to get the doctor involved.
All right. So it's a full on comprehensive care team, the family, the loved ones, the doctor. But I think, yeah, having sensitivity. I remember when my grandma, she just wasn't able to drive anymore. And having that conversation of that just not being able to happen. And it was so hard, but I think that, I think keeping on the safety aspects and listen, we care about you and we're going to be available for transportation, but we don't want you to hurt yourself or anybody else, all of those things. And I'm sure with 30 years of experience, Karen, I just appreciate your input so much because I think this is such an important conversation. I think that this demographic of our world are completely sometimes disregarded as just old people. And I can't stand when I see that happens. I'm sure you can't either. And we need to have that care sensitivity and remember integrity versus despair. We all have that in our lives, but boy, these are the wise elders that have lived before us and gone through so much and know so much. And so once again, the Caring Code, you can get it. I'm assuming you can get it on Amazon and where else?
Yes.
All right.
Amazon.
All right. And folks, if you're out there and you're going through this, reach out to an expert like Karen, and you can find her at KarenOwenLee.com. Karen, thank you so much, folks. Until next time, we will talk to you soon.